Welcome to Dollars and Cents for College Students, a multi-part podcast series that gives college students the knowledge and tools to handle their financial situation during and after college. Your host for this program is Professor Frank Longo of Centenary University School of Professional Studies. Please note that before making any financial decisions, please seek sound financial advice from a financial professional. And now, here is your host, Professor Frank Longo.
Hello, and welcome to Dollars and Cents for College Students. This is the financial literacy show designed to provide college students with thoughts and ideas for personal financial planning. We give you something to think about, and you decide what works best for you. In our last session, we discussed the advantages of investing in common stock as an effective way to pay for the necessities of life and the desires of life to achieve financial security. As a brief review, the best reason to invest in stock is perhaps the history of stock investing. Stocks have provided, on average, the highest returns of all investments. Ibbotson, a research firm, estimates that the growth rate of the stock market, including dividends, and dividends are an important factor, is historically about 10% per year, dating back to 1926. Stock investing offers two ways to profit. The first is to collect dividends while you own the stock. Keep in mind, not all companies pay dividends. The second way to profit is to sell the investment for more than you paid for it. We will discuss several companies who have significant growth potential and pay dividends yielding about 4%. Such dividends are a great start to achieving at least 10% returns. Another reason to invest in stock is the tax treatment of dividends and long-term capital gains. These are taxed at lower rates than other income, and in some cases are not taxed at all. College students have a particular opportunity here, since they are not generally working full-time jobs, have a greater opportunity to fall into the zero tax bracket on dividends and capital gains. By the way, long-term capital gains are defined as gains from the sale of stock that was owned for more than 12 months. Stock investing is clearly worthy of consideration by all people, but especially college students. The most important factor in building wealth is time. Time gives the young the opportunity to invest, recover from market declines should they occur, be paid dividends, and reinvest the dividends. Reinvesting leads to additional gains due to compounding, one of the most powerful investing tools. It is especially powerful when the corporations consistently increase dividends. In our prior session, we discussed how interest rates can be expected to remain low for the foreseeable future. This means that savings accounts will not provide sufficient income to meet long-term goals, although they may be appropriate to hold emergency funds. Let's state very simply our goal. We want to identify and invest in companies that will provide sufficient returns so we can achieve our personal goals. We want to buy stock and sell it later, maybe much later, at a higher price. We would also like to collect dividends that increase over time. The next step is to identify appropriate accounts that you can use to purchase stock. But first, let's review the features of an account that best serve college students. First, the ability to invest small amounts of money. This is a necessity for many college students. Next, we would like to have the ability to reinvest dividends. This means that dividends, payments from a company's earnings that are paid to owners, are automatically used to buy additional shares of the company's stock. This enables us to take advantage of two important financial concepts: compounding, using investment earnings to generate additional earnings, and dollar cost averaging, investing periodically so the purchase price is an average price rather than a high price. There are a number of suitable stockbrokers for beginners and those who have small amounts of money to invest. I'd like to emphasize that I personally do not have a financial interest. In other words, I don't own stock in any of the brokers we will now discuss. Stockbrokers.com, an independent rating service, rated 5 brokers as best selections for beginners. They are, let me list them, TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, E-Trade, Charles Schwab, and Robinhood. All are worthy of your review. In the interest of time, I will discuss 2. First, TD Ameritrade. It was rated as the best overall broker for beginners. It offers webinars and videos, and through its Think and Swim platform, you can practice trading, buying, and selling stock with fake money. This is an excellent feature for beginners. There is no minimum deposit to open the account. There are no commissions on stock trades. So this enables you to make all of your money work for you and not lose a portion to fees and expenses. Ameritrade also provides a dividend reinvestment service, which allows you to take advantage of compounding and dollar cost averaging, as previously discussed. Next, Fidelity, another broker that does not charge fees or commissions, has no minimum investment amount required to open the account. It offers dollar-based investing, which means you can buy stock based on how much you want to invest, such as $50, rather than buying one share or some number of shares. They offer advice on financial basics, building savings, and much more. Stockbrokers.com noted its excellent research and education services as attractive features. Both TD Ameritrade and Fidelity, they are both name brands among brokers, and they allow the purchase of fractional shares. For example, Johnson & Johnson currently sells for approximately $145 per share. If you only have $50 to invest, you can buy a fractional share, or roughly one-third of a share. You can reinvest dividends, which means the dividends that Johnson & Johnson pays you would be used to purchase more fractional shares. This is a great feature. It allows you to invest what you can afford. It also enables you to spread your investments over a number of companies. This is called diversification. Diversification spreads the risk of loss over several companies. When you invest in just one company, you are putting all of your eggs in one basket, as they say. Your success is based on one company. When you diversify, your chances of success are based on investing in a number of companies, which increases your chances to succeed. The advantage to this, you don't need a great deal of money to get started. You can actually do the same things that many rich people and wealthy people can do, but you can get started with small amounts of money and let your money grow. Before we talk about specific companies worthy of investment consideration, I would like to provide you with a basis for evaluating companies. Since you may be new to investing, I'm going to suggest a short 5-step method to evaluate companies. First, I would like you to understand the risk of investing in each company. So my first thought, consider something called beta. Beta is a mathematical calculation that compares a company's stock price to the market changes for a period of time. Now, you don't have to calculate beta. Both Ameritrade, Fidelity, and the other services, they will provide you with beta. When beta is equal to 1, your risk, the risk of investing in a particular company, is the same as the market risk as a whole. If beta is less than 1 for a particular company, the stock's risk is less than the market. So let's talk about an example. Pfizer. Pfizer's beta is 0.71, which obviously is less than 1. This means its risk, based on its recent history, is about 71% of the market risk. When beta is greater than 1, such as 1.2, the risk is greater than the market risk by about 20%. So I like to use beta to evaluate my potential risks, and it also gives me some thoughts about the potential reward. When beta is less than 1, my chances of losing are less than 1. I might not make as much money as the market as a whole. My next step, consider earnings growth and potential earnings growth. Stock prices generally rise as companies increase their profits. And when they are expected to increase their profits. So a company doesn't even have to have current profits. If it is expected to have profits in the future, that can make its price rise. We'll talk a little bit more about the potential in a moment. My third factor, which I believe is very important, it's called free cash flow. This number, you don't have to calculate it. It will be available from the broker, so your broker should be providing you with information. Free cash flow is defined as the cash, the money a company actually collects from its normal business operations, minus capital investments, which are investments in machinery and equipment, minus dividends. The resulting number is the cash a company actually collected and does not have to repay. Free cash flow is a significant sign of financial health. So let's make this a little more personal. Let's say you're working a job and you calculate or you add up your take-home pay. You subtract from your take-home pay your living expenses. That is the same as the cash a company collects from its operations. Then subtract some major purchase like the car you need to get to work. Subtract that. Now, that's a major cost. Subtract that. If you still have money left over after that, you are free to use that money any way in which you see fit. And you're free because you earned that money. You don't owe that to someone else. So that becomes the equivalent of a company's free cash flow. It is a significant sign of financial health. And investment publications typically indicate when companies have free cash flow, and it's a very positive sign. In my opinion, it's one of the most positive signs for investing in a company. Another factor, rising cash dividends. This is number 4. Remember, dividends are payments from earnings made to owners. Companies cannot pay dividends unless they have profits, and they can't pay a cash dividend unless they have cash. So a rising cash dividend means a company has rising profits, a good sign, and they have rising amounts of cash, another good sign, signs of financial health. My last factor is why. Why should I buy this stock? By the way, I view why as a little kid question. You know, when we're all kids, we always asked why. We might have driven our parents crazy, but that was a good thing to ask. Why should I buy this stock? Well, this is my last factor. It is the explanation of what the company plans to do to increase its profits. By the way, the answer to why, that will indicate why the company has potential earnings growth. So with that as our background, let's talk about some specific companies. First, Pfizer. Pfizer is a research-based global biopharmaceutical company. It discovers, develops, and manufactures healthcare products, including medicines and vaccines. By the way, in light of COVID-19, medicines and vaccines become a very significant factor for a company and for why you might consider buying it. So let's talk about beta. Pfizer's beta is 0.71, which means there is less risk in this investment than investing in the market as a whole. And I believe that as college students that you may want to be a little more cautious, although that's something you have to decide. Pfizer has a recent history of increasing its earnings per share, of increasing its income. It has significant free cash flow, and it's raised its dividend every year since 2011. By the way, its dividend yield, the amount of its dividend, divided by its current stock price, is 4%. This means with every dividend, you're getting back 4% of your investment. I would like to use that 4% to buy more shares. I would like to automatically reinvest those dividends. By the way, if 10% is a good return on any investment, and we can reasonably expect to collect 4% through dividends, we are well on our way to achieving that 10%. Now for the why for Pfizer. It's working on a COVID-19 vaccine. It has made significant progress in developing a vaccine. Pfizer was a good investment before the virus. Now its prospects are even better. Another company to consider, Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson manufactures medical devices, pharmaceuticals, and consumer healthcare products. Its beta is 0.72, making it less risky than the market as a whole. It has a history of increasing earnings and dividends. By the way, Johnson & Johnson is known as a dividend aristocrat. A dividend aristocrat is defined as a company that has increased its dividend every year for 25 years. That is significant. That shows that they have steadily increased their profits and increased their cash, a significant sign of financial health. By the way, the why, actually not by the way, but the why, Johnson & Johnson is also making significant progress towards finding a COVID-19 vaccine. Another company to consider, Microsoft, the world's largest independent maker of software. Its beta is 0.95. So that 0.95, it's still not as risky as the market as a whole. A little bit more risky than both Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. And generally speaking, would seem to offer a little bit of a greater reward. Microsoft has a history of increasing earnings, increasing its dividends, and increasing its free cash flow. Its yield is approximately 1.1% currently. The reason its yield is 1.1% is because the price of the stock has increased greatly in the last few years. Let's talk about the why for Microsoft. In addition to providing cloud computing services, it provides Microsoft Office and Microsoft Teams services. With the advent of COVID-19, businesses are increasingly encouraging the use of remote work, and colleges are doing a lot of classes remotely, and many of them use Microsoft Teams. So Microsoft's products should remain in demand for quite some time. COVID-19 actually increases the importance of its products. Microsoft was a good investment before COVID-19. My opinion, it's an even better investment now. By the way, Johnson & Johnson and Microsoft are the only two AAA rated companies in this country. That AAA rating, that reflects financial security. So they are considered to be exceptionally run companies, and they have a sound financial record. Each of these companies, in my opinion, are excellent investments, not just for college students, but for any investor. And for full disclosure, I personally own stock in each of these companies. In our next show, we will discuss additional investments that are worthy of your consideration, and we will focus on the recent college graduate and financial actions for you to consider as you enter the workforce. Until then, stay calm, thoughtful, and purposeful.
You have been listening to Dollars and Cents for College Students with host Frank Longo. The opinions on this series are those of the host. Before making any financial decisions, be sure to consult with a financial professional such as a certified financial planner. For more information, visit cfp.net.